Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, X, at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could also follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980, and you could read his awesome columns every week at playlikeajet.com. And you could catch our podcast wherever you find your podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at SportsWire Radio at sportsanarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for all the other scheduling of the other great shows on there. So, Sharman, have we turned the corner in a loss? That's what I want to know.
Well, there was a lot of positivity. A lot of things to look forward to. I mean, if they could continue, first and foremost, before we start, I want to apologize to all Jets fans for not bringing up the name Taylor Swift. I'm just kidding. it was ridiculous, man. It was like I'm turning on to watch football, and all I could hear is I knew. Before the game started, because somebody on Twitter said, "You want to get drunk tonight? Take a shot every time they say Taylor Swift." Yeah. And I thought about it, and I'm like, "If I did this, I'd be under the table. That's basically where I would be."
Yeah, we'd all be.
yeah. But anyway, about our team, there were like several incredibly positive things to look forward to. I think primarily the fact that Zach Wilson played the game of his career under the lights of Sunday Night Football, national media attention against the defending champions, the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. I think if you put all of those things together, I mean, if you want, this is what you would want, right? For this kid to accept what it is to be a quarterback in New York, you know, because that Sunday night performance is basically what you would have to come up with most nights to be a New York quarterback and be on good terms with New York fans. But ultimately, for his own, you know, personal use or his personal gain, the fact that he was able to put together the kind of game that we saw was what we've been kind of craving for the longest. Because if we're being honest, I mean, and I know there's a lot of fans that live in their emotions, and because he hadn't put it together, it's easy to, like, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know, they take this guy out of here, he sucks. All this stuff. But the one thing that you can't deny is that Zach Wilson is supremely talented. Now, of course, for some reason, that's a controversial comment, because Jones, the defensive end for the Chiefs, said that in his interview after the game. And guess what? An NBC talking head, which Harrison said, "Oh yeah, he's special. Oh no, he's garbage." You know, bull crap. You're a football player. You used to be a football player. You should know that you don't become a pro unless you are somehow special. There's a very small percentage of players that get to play in the NFL. And to make it even worse, there's an even smaller percentage of players that get to be named with the elite players that ever played in the NFL. And this is what Zach had been missing. He'd been missing the connection between his talent and his performance. He had... You know, we've been saying this for the longest. He almost like writer's block. You could write a million books, but there will become a time in between those books where you will almost not be able to write nothing, not a sentence. Can't start a sentence. Can't put any pen to paper at all. And it's almost debilitating. And it's not like you can't, because you have the talent to do it. But for some reason, you just can't, you know, execute. And people would cast out things like, oh, he has no football IQ, and oh, he's this and that, the other, which is the most crap ever. We could go over multiple plays where you could tell that he knows how to read defenses and everything like that. Consistently performing at that level is what separates players I don't even want to say Patrick Mahomes, but quarterback, the one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, whichever his name is, there's something that separates him and the guy that sits on the bench. And a lot of the time, it's not that much. People don't understand this. The guy that sits on the bench has the same amount of knowledge as the guy that started. The problem is he just cannot get that little oomph, that little bit that would allow him to take that knowledge and apply it. That application of his talent, using the knowledge that he has, is what separates the elite or best of the sport. And Zach Wilson, which I stated last week, is just that little hump. He just hasn't been able to apply it. And my question the whole time is, if he does it, what are we going to say? You know, we've spending time talking about how he sucks, you know, sometimes, which is a lot of the time is an emotional comment, because we're just feeling so frustrated because of all these negative performances that our favorite team has, you know, put on the field over the years. It just is what it is at the end of the day, because Zach is talented. And for the first time on Sunday night, you could see it in its glory, you know. Took him a little bit, yeah. but then in the second quarter, boom, he's on all of a sudden. And he's making back shoulder throws, and he's reading defenses, and he's checking out of plays. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like protecting himself, understanding that, seeing, because I think the back shoulder throw to Ruckert, number one, we got to speak about this kid, because like we might have something on our hands here. You know, I mean, in a very small, show here, you know, we're seeing that he is incredibly talented himself, and he's starting to put it together, because we know that he's a great blocker, because we've had a ton of great blockers. But now to pair that with being able to run routes and make incredible catches, if you could do that and put that together, man, somebody's going to have to sit down. I mean, and people are saying Conklin. I said it before. No, Uzama, right. I'm sorry. I don't have anything against the guy, but he is wildly inconsistent. He is, and that's just what it is. But anyway, going back to Zach Wilson, that throw to Ruckert was incredible, because pre-snap, he understood what was going on in the front. He saw that there were more men out the line of scrimmage on the Chiefs side than there was for the Jets. Guess what he did? He motioned Ruckert closer to the line, basically creating a situation where the Chiefs would be like, okay, so he's calling protection, right? The tight end is motioned close to the line because he's going to come and block. But guess what happened? He ran a route. And not only did he run a route, he ran the route to play against the defense, setting up the defense to get him space outside on that fade route. You know what I mean? That was perfect. Not only was it a perfect throw from Zach, but it was a perfect route run by Ruckert. So, I mean, several things. The touchdown to what's his name? Lazard. Yeah. You know?
Throw.
Yeah, great throw. Great throw, great release. Great getting his eyes, this eye discipline enough to get the safety to bite a little bit. Enough to get him space to throw the ball to Lazard. Incredible. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that he did it when he did it, under the lights of a Sunday night football game on NBC for the national audience to watch, and for people to see that this kid is not far gone, like everybody was saying, that he has a chance. You know? Now, that doesn't mean going forward that all of a sudden he's got it. We don't know. Week to week now, he has to keep proving it. This is how it is, you know? But I'll take that performance, though.
Yeah, and you know what? This might be the week that we're going to look back on after the season, or even in a few years, we're going to look back at this game as the game that he started to turn it around, right?
Yeah.
Could be mm-hmm. it. I hope it is. I hope we don't go back to, you know, previous Zach Wilson games this week coming up against Denver. But, you couldn't have asked him to do a better job outside of the fumble, you know, the snap fumble.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that definitely cost us. Probably, obviously, it cost us the game. But then we got to talk about how many bad calls we got as well. That goes without saying. But listen, they're horrible calls. No one's debating how bad those calls were. I mean, you just can't even – to get into them is ridiculous. The holding calls, the pass interference against Sauce, it's just – it's frustrating. But there comes a time where a team has to overcome those. And I think we have to overcome them eventually. I know it's almost impossible when they're especially called on us when we're making –
when they're so blatant.
Yeah. So it's frustrating. It is frustrating because I don't like being the team that sits here and complains about the refs. I hate doing that. But unfortunately, we have to. The last couple of weeks, it's so frustrating.
It is just incredibly blatant and inconsistent. Like Coach Sala said earlier today, you know, calls are calls. And he said a lot of the times, from play to play, players cheat. You know, they do little things to kind of give them a little bit, a little heads up over somebody else. You know, that is not the issue for me. In my opinion, when you're playing any kind of competitive sport, there is going to be a little give and take. That's not my problem. My problem is on that field on Sunday night, I lost count of how many times there were blatant calls that were missed. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The Sauce call, that was hand fighting by both players.
Yep.
Why call that not then? There was incredible physicality between both players. Why are you calling that then? Okay, fine. You call that, right? The call with JJ getting basically robbed at gunpoint, because basically that's what it looked like. You know, and no matter how much he tried to get out of it and wave his hand, no, they're not calling it. You could say that he didn't play it well, and he allowed the offensive lineman to get into his chest, which once you do that and you don't get off the block, then or try to enough that you look like you're being held, you know, you could argue all that. Listen, I think it's crap, but it is what it is, right? So all these calls are blatant. But you know what's more blatant, which I think not a lot of people was talking about, because everybody, Dean Blandino and everybody having conversations about all these calls. Well, you know, by the letter of the law, all this. What was the letter of the law doing when Sherwood's ankle was snatched?
Right. And twisted too.
Yeah, because he couldn't just hold it, because Sherwood would just pull his foot out of his hand. He twisted it to make sure Sherwood fell.
Right.
You understand me? No. Oh, no. You know, hey, that you know, why should we talk about this? Because you know what? There's no argument against that one. You can't. There's nothing. It's way too blatant. So nobody talked about it. Nobody said anything. Nobody said, oh, Sauce, man, that's what he does. He holds all the time. You know, hey, number 11, man, hey, listen, you got to get yourself off the block. You know, you can't just let the guy get into your chest like that. For that one, nobody could come up with an argument. So guess what? Nobody talks about it. It's as simple as that. You know, and it's there in broad daylight. You could see, because I saw it on live. I saw Sherwood, and I was speaking to our friend Daniel. We were watching the game together, and I said, why did 44 just fall? Like, what is he doing? And then when they replay, I saw the guy grab his ankle. I was like, come on, man.
I know, it's so obvious. And you know what? And the thing is that with refereeing in every sport, right? It comes down to they're very judgmental, a lot of these calls. So I get it. They're not going to catch every call. They're not going to get every hold. They're not going to get every pass interference and all that. I get all that. All we want is consistency from the refereeing. That's it.
That's it.
So just stay consistent.
Call it tight or call it loose.
Right.
Call it tight sometime.
Right.
And then call it loose all of a sudden, or call it loose all the time. And then right at the end of the game, call it tight. That doesn't make any sense, right? You know, but
it comes down to how the team plays too. You know, like the team, once a player knows how the refs are going to call the game, they know how intense or how physical they could play the receiver, or vice versa, or how the receiver could play the DB. Right? We see it all the time. And the holding, they could be technically, they could probably call holding on every play.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, because everybody's fighting for space. Yeah,
so you only call the ones that are, you know, pretty blatant or pretty out there, right in front of you. So, I understand they're gonna miss calls. We know they're gonna miss calls, but when it's something so blatant that you could see it without even slowing down, you know, like the Sauce pass interference thing, when they slowed it down frame by frame, it kind of looked like he put his hand on his shoulder. And maybe that kind of slowed down the receiver or made him go a different direction. So, okay, technically, was it pass interference? Okay, if that's what you want to call. But you got to be calling that from the first minute of the game. Don't just let them play. And then in the last two, three minutes, whatever it was, and there was an interception on that play, say, oh, there you go, that's pass interference.
There was a couple plays against the Chiefs defense with the corner, the kid playing Garrett Wilson. Like, oh my God, man. he got his hand. Man, listen, you could have called this dude for interference I don't know how many times. But there was no calls.
Nope.
You understand me? So that's right. And I didn't even complain about that because to tell you the truth, it's not even worth it. It is what it is. You understand me?
Right.
But on the other side, you're calling this.
Right.
This is stupid. You're way too inconsistent. And that's the problem. And I agree with Coach Sala about that. And but we got to go back to speaking about Zach Wilson, because to me, again, man, you got to give him the fact, especially in the face of all that adversity this kid has gone through. Trying to rebuild himself after the debacle of 2022, for him to rise up the way he's risen up in the face of everything that's happened is incredible for me. He needs to be given his flowers right now. I don't care what happens for the rest of the year. For a man to rise up after he's fallen the way Zach Wilson did. I'm talking about a young kid. A lot of young men don't have that kind of fortitude. You know, it's too easy to give up. It's too easy to walk away. It's too easy to kind of just, you know, just dally along, you know, because, hey, man, everybody hates me. I'm not doing well. For this kid to keep working and be able to come and show his work the way he did is incredible for me. And I think one of the things that kind of popped up the most for me is the Chiefs defense had been playing incredibly well, right? And he sliced and diced them a couple times. And not only that, he didn't turn the ball over. That's crazy, in my opinion. The fact that he performed on that level and then didn't turn the ball over, two touchdowns, and that 2-point conversion, incredible for me. I mean, that I was hyped, man. I was really, really happy for him. I think we cannot move on without having a conversation about a couple things. I think second week of great performance by that offensive line that they just slide together after Brown's injury. Or I think everybody came to play. I don't even think Tomlinson gave up a pressure. I don't think he did. I tried to find some, you know, number, somebody saying that he did. I couldn't find somebody that said that he did. I think between the tackles, I think they were the ones that gave up the most pressures, but it wasn't as egregious as you would think, as even with Jones playing, which was incredible for me. I think, again, Joe Tippmann, man, for called on to play guard, and he's playing that position incredibly well. Just a stellar performance again by him. And I think keep those guys playing together, you know, fingers crossed, no injuries. And I think the sky's the limit for these guys, because I think they're kind of settling really well into their positions.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. And listen, we got to say Quincy Williams is.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, this again, this to me, this is the thing. Like at some point we got to start talking about this coaching staff, because we kill them when we think they've when they've done something wrong. Right. Well, here, I think they've been doing something incredibly right. And they've taken Quincy. Where did Joe Douglas go get this guy again? Well, he was like off the waiver wire.
More or less.
Like, come on, man. Turn this kid into what we're watching, which is probably top five linebacker in the NFL right now, with statistically. Holy, man. Speed, which we know he has, but the fact that he's able to use it in a controlled way is what amazes me. He has quieted his game, because as a you know, that antsy, kind of, you know, twitchy feeling that you see a lot of linebackers do, where they're kind of just, you know, they can't calm themselves down before the play. I think that has gone completely away from his game. Before plays, you could see he's not moving. He's looking for his keys. He knows where his eyes are supposed to be. He is, and as soon as the ball is snapped, bam, he's gone. Completely knows where he's going. There was a couple plays he blew through a guard a couple times right to the quarterback, timing his pursuit, instantly on time, on point, every time, over and over again this season. He's been performing at an elite level. At this point of the season, you gotta say he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. And I'm proud to say, man, that this dude is a New York Jet, because for them to pay him and for the Jets to look at it on the field and see him, basically they ripping the rewards of paying this guy right now. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? And with Zach Wilson, I think we have to add on to what he went through with Joe Namath, with his comments and all that. You know, you talk about a franchise icon. I mean, he's basically the Jets. When you think of the Jets, you think of Joe Namath. And for him to destroy him on radio and say that the Jets need to clean house, get rid of the coaching staff, the GM. I mean, that was horrible. And then for them to perform the way they did, that shows a lot of character on this team, not just
I think so.
Not just Zach Wilson. The entire team showed a lot.
I agree. But in the face of everything, I think another thing we can't move on without having conversation about is the fact that Aaron Rodgers came and spoke to the team. And the basically the theme of the of every interview after everybody found out that Aaron Rodgers spoke to the team in the hotel room in the hotel app before the game or whatever it was almost everybody saying the same thing. It was like Big Brother walked in. And I have a younger brother. And my brother lives his life, you know, to the best of his abilities. You know, he never asks for anything from me. He rarely asks me for my opinion on things. But there will be times when he has hard, you know, he goes through a hard patch or something. And no matter how proud he is, he will call me. And he'll go, yeah, can you give me your opinion on this? You know, and then he'll kind of line it, you know, lay it in front of me. And, hey, what do you think? It's almost like he knows that there's nobody else that would tell him the exact truth of the situation than his older brother. When everybody said it, that's how I felt. I felt like no matter how lost you feel, your older brother always the one that was like, hey man, you know, it's not even that serious. Calm down. Or call you out on it and say, hey man, you know you're wrong. You know what I mean? And his voice, in my opinion, played a big role in what, you know, what was said, because I know he was unhappy with it, with him, his conversation being leaked, which in my opinion is trash. Whoever did that, that's complete trash. Because to me, that nobody needs to know this. Like, we need to know that he spoke. We didn't need to know what he said. And you know, I'm gonna mention it, yeah, because right now it's out there. He said that he basically told them that the finger pointing needs to stop. And everybody needs to back up each other like they're supposed to, because that's what it is. You know, it's us against the world. That's how it's supposed to be. And instead of us against us. And he's right. He's right. And again, it shows how the impact of Aaron Rodgers is. It was not just a Hard Knocks thing. It was not one of those made up things. He actually impacted this team on a cellular level, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. His presence there, like you said, it means so much. Not just to Zach Wilson, I think to the entire team. You know, just like you said, he's kind of like the big brother now. You hate to say he's older than that, but he's just like the big brother to them right now. And especially to Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson needs him, you know, on the sidelines or just talking to him even before the game, just to kind of, you know, just to kind of ease him down a little bit, just make him relax and just play. You know, play. Yeah. Don't worry about everything else. Everything else is going to, listen, people are going to talk about you no matter what.
Yep.
Especially quarterbacking for the Jets.
People are going to talk about you. Oh, yeah. All day.
There's so much pressure on the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. So imagine it being a million times more for a team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl since 1969, right? How many different quarterbacks we've had over the years? So are you just next in the line of all these other guys that have failed to do so? Or are you the guy that's going to turn this franchise around and become finally a Super Bowl team? So until you prove otherwise, you're just going to be another quarterback that has failed in New York until you prove everybody wrong. And that's what it comes down to. Sadly, that's what it is. You could be a playoff quarterback. You know, you could take us to the championship game. You could do all that. But it's still in the end, you're not going to get to that Super Bowl, right? You're not going to get to that top of the mountain. So that's the sad part. That's the sad part in just about every sport, you know, being on a New York team, especially, there's so much more extra pressure on you. But when you win, you're on top of the world.
If you perform in New York, man, you're more than a superstar. You're bigger than life. That's basically what it is.
You go here, forget it. You own this town.
Yeah. We mentioned last week that we were asking for Ruckert's snaps to go up. He did. He and Conklin saw more snaps than Uzama did, actually. So that's a good thing. Conklin is, he kind of raised his head a little bit, because this is what his game is. He's supposed to be that kind of a the security blanket for Zach, and we will see. I think we'll be calling his name. They'll be calling his number a lot over the season, and we're hoping that snap count rises even more for Rucker. That means he is performing. He's doing well. Of course, he's a rookie. He's not a rookie. He's in his second year. He is still going to be making mistakes, guys. He's not completed. You know, yeah, he's not a completed thing yet. He's still working on his game. It's gonna take time, but overall, his game is getting better. So that's the best thing I gotta say. He's definitely getting better, and it's basically trending at this point. That's how I look at it.
To give you the number on the snap count with Rucker real quick, Ty Conklin had 40 snaps. Rucker 25. Uzama 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was slightly raised, man. You know, so yeah. I think Rucker's snap count was like below 20. Oh, it was 21 or 22 or something like that. So
I think it's gonna continue to go up. And I think Uzama's like you said, if someone's gonna take a hit, it's gonna be Uzama, because think about it. If you had to choose between Uzama or Conklin, you're gonna choose Conklin because Conklin,
yes,
he could be a weapon on offense.
Conklin is a more athletic, better blocker, better, in my opinion, more consistent as a blocker, more consistent as a catcher of the football. He is going to be the one that's going to get the lion's share of the snaps at tight end, in my opinion. So it's up to Rucker to keep stepping up to take that second tier amount of snaps. So I'm happy with where that's going. Wide receiver wise, we criticized Lazard a little bit for his performances before. I think everybody needed to be criticized. The team didn't play well, but against the Chiefs, you saw his potential, what he could do, not only in catching the ball, but the fact that he was able to block better. I think that worked. That helped the running game a lot. I think on that Breece Hall run, I think his crack block was incredible. I think the Garrett Wilson have been targeted 14 times and only catching 9 times. I think that's not gonna happen a lot. That was a one off. That's not gonna happen a lot, in my opinion. It's gonna be better.
Here's a question for you. Why don't you?
Yes.
Why do you think they're not using Hardman more?
No idea. No complete. Explain to me why Gibson would be the choice and not Hardman.
Right.
Because you could try to come up with all kinds of reasons. Unless we know exactly what's happening, I don't even want to speculate, because this is the oddest thing I've ever seen. This guy went to a damn Super Bowl, and not only did he go to the Super Bowl, he performed admirably in the Super Bowl. No?
Yeah.
And you could stand there and criticize the coaches as much as you want. You do not know what's going on. Something is wrong. Don't know what it is, but something is wrong, because that makes absolutely no sense. This guy's snap count is like dirt. 2 snap counts, 1, 3. Like what? What are we talking about here?
At Xavier Gibson at 11.
Ridiculous.
And there's nothing against Gibson. I have nothing against
him. No. Most definitely not. But this is, we're talking about an experienced player over one that's inexperienced. This is what we're talking about.
And Hardman, I think I'd seen a stat. I should have saved it, but I thought he was like, was he fifth in most yards per touch? If I'm not mistaken.
Was that last year?
Yeah, for last year, Mecole Hardman.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It was like fifth or seventh. I forgot what it was, but it was some high number. And you're like, why aren't you finding more plays for this guy?
Something is wrong, Chris, because that doesn't make any sense. Listen, we all the positive things we've said about this coaching staff, how are the same people making these decisions, seeing Ruckert's tape and slowly raising his snap count? Actually, the other thing I wanted to bring up too was the fact that we've been complaining about Cook and his non-performance, right? Well, guess what? Cook's snap count went down, right? Carter's snap count went up, and Hall's snap count, according to Robert Saleh, is going to be brought back to what it was last year before he got injured, because now he's not on a snap count anymore. So they're seeing all these things. That means they're paying attention to the players. They're watching the film. They're knowing who's playing well, who needs to. You can't be making all these positive changes and then turn around and tell me that they're watching this guy, knowing what he could do, and he's basically on the bench, unless something is wrong. I'm telling you, something is wrong. This doesn't make any kind of sense.
We haven't heard injury wise, so is he not?
No. That's the thing. You never know what it is. I can't say it's injury again, like you said, because there's no news about that.
Just real quick, he only played 8 games last year. His percentage of snap counts in the 8 games went from 55, 54, 68, 46, 40, 44, 62, 54. That was in the 8 games he played last year.
All over the place.
Scored 4 touchdowns. Yeah, but that's like, even if it's 50%, that's basically 50% more than what he's playing with us.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Because this is an incredibly talented individual we're talking about now.
Yeah.
We're not talking about some scrub. This is an incredibly talented individual. You're telling me that even when he was last year, where he was, his snap count basically kind of fluctuated so sharply. Something is up with this dude. Is he not studying? He's not understanding what they're telling him to do. He's not running the right routes. Something is happening in the film room that's causing the coaches to cut down on the amount of snaps that he takes. Because even last year, again, you're telling me that at some point it went up all the way to the 60s, and then it dipped all the way to the 40s.
Yeah.
If you're so talented and you were playing wide receiver in the NFL and you can't get your butt on the field more than that, and your number can't be called more than that, something is up with you. The fact that nobody else signed him, that the Jets were able to take him, knowing the kind of talent we're talking about, again, something's up, man. I'm not out here trying to defend the coaches completely. I'm just saying that something is out here, and at some point we'll find out what it is.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just something. It's definitely strange to have that kind of a weapon, and you can't. Listen, I understand. You're not going to get he's not going to get 5-6 catches a game. He's not that type of guy. But you're going to tell me you can't find a play or two here and there, a trick, something. Just get him the ball. He makes things happen, you know. So I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The last thing, the last couple lines about this game, the defense is kind of came up short a little bit, especially on those couple long drives. I mean, you could say that we were playing against the Zebras too. They're the ones that caused that. But Patrick Mahomes was able to drive his team down there, man. And they had a couple incredible long drives, especially off of third and long that we weren't able to get home. I think that was incredibly disappointing on the defense's side.
The run too, not good against.
Yeah, them. Yeah. I think playing man coverage over and being able to, I know it's tough to play a player like that, you know. Because if you play zone, he will tear you apart, man, because he'll just know where you're at and what you're doing. He's going to be able to read what you're trying to play. You're not going to be able to disguise it that much because he knows where to get, you know, and his tight end is very smart, too. And they could tear you apart. But your best, you try to play man, and then he does that where he gets, you know, because And because I don't know, man. I'm not gonna make excuses. I think they
didn't have a good game, Mahomes. Bit of a game.
No, but when it counted the most, listen, if Mahomes weren't able to play the basically convert these two incredibly long third downs, they weren't gonna win that game.
The guy who killed us really was Pacheco.
Well, that was the thing too. And going back, the this is kind of a philosophy thing where that defense, I forget who it is, but basically what they're doing is they're basically kind of playing back and not loading the box and not playing a lot of cover three or anything like that that would stop the run. And so that's what was allowing them to kind of mute Kelce a lot, was that they were able to put a lot of bodies around him, find him, negate his impact on the game. But then when you do that, you open the floodgates for a player like Pacheco. So I don't think I think they were trying to allow the lesser of two evils to thrive. And I think ultimately it worked, but they weren't able to close that door when the two times that they had twice, they had the choice. They could have ended the 3rd and 11 or the 3rd and whatever it was after that. It was right there in their hands to do. So it was a great game plan, but they weren't able to execute it to enough. So I'm not even complaining about the running game. I think it was their choice. And it's basically kind of what Salah does. If you watch the Jets run stopping prowess last year, you could tell that it was a little lower than you think for a defense of their caliber. And there's a reason for that, I think. Because I think they back off of loading the box, and they kind of just let their their four man front do all the work. And if they get home, they get home. If they don't, they go off, So it is what it is. I'm not even mad about that. I just think they could have executed better on those third downs, but it is what it is. The game's over. Last thing about the game, we did talk about Quincy Williams. The other person's snap count that on defense that got up was Bryce Huff. And Bryce Huff was called on to play more snaps than normal. He lined up on first down a couple times, on second down a couple times. He wasn't only a designated pass rusher. And because of that, he was able to actually influence the game a couple of times. I think that that play on the goal line with when the Chiefs were pinned back, I think part of the reason why they were able to I think it was on the safety. Yeah, if I'm correct, it's either that was a second down play, you know.
Think so.
Yeah, and he was on the field. So yeah, that goes to show you, in my opinion, that they're getting to trust him in against the run, and they're gonna allow him to play more and more snaps. So, kudos to the coaches to giving him more snaps, because we've been calling for that. Yeah.
So let's jump to the Broncos game. What are your thoughts heading into this Denver game? Denver coming off a victory last week. They held on to beat the Bears on the road. Real quick, the Broncos not good. Like, we're not good against the run this year so far. We're 28th in rushing yards allowed per game. The Broncos are 32nd at 176. So defensively, not good this year. And considering the Broncos have been very good the last couple of years defensively. So, well, what do you think here?
There's a lot going on over there with that defense that it doesn't make a lot of sense. They really struggled to do a lot. They struggled doing a lot of things, and they're way too talented to be playing the way they're playing, and that's the problem. The pass rush is so bad, man. to the point where, you know, they just paid what's his name, Jones. That's what's his name, the kid from that was with Dallas that ended up signing with them.
Oh, Gregory.
Gregory, yeah. They just, you know, they just cut him. Yeah, because nothing. They paid him all that money and he can't. He's like a blunt instrument. So they've definitely they understand that their defensive line is just not getting pressure. They're not being able to get any kind of penetration, and they're not being able to stop the run. They're just playing really poorly, and it exposes the extremely talented DB room that they have. DBs, yeah, you could be very good, but if quarterbacks have 7 seconds to throw the ball, it really doesn't matter.
No.
You know, so that's basically what's going on with them. I think the Jets have a chance here to take advantage of a team that's kind of flailing around here. And because they, you know, it looks like from game to game that the Jets have been incrementally getting a little better. I mean, not massive growth, but there's small things that they've been doing better. And but with the Broncos, they struggled, man. Offensively, yes. If you want to have that conversation, you say that offense has been kind of the Broncos' offense has been playing better. I think the offensive line has been blocking a little better, giving Wilson a little bit more time. And with that, he's able to do the things that he does, which is roll out and get the ball on the move and get people open when, you know, make those plays outside of the pocket that he has done all his career. So, but overall, I just think this is a great opportunity for the Jets to get a team that's kind of flailing around and just, you know, execute against them and beat them, send them home.
Oh, I'm with you. I definitely think this is a game that they got to win. And when you look at what's coming up for the Jets, right? They got a couple of tough games. You got coming up next. So this is the game that you want to get this game, because you don't want to go into the following week at home. You know, they come back home and then they're going to play Philly, and they'll be 1-4 going into that game, or 1-4. Yeah, if they lose, they'll be 1-4 heading into the game against Philly, and then they got the bye week. So you don't want to go 1-4 going into that game against Philly, and then looking at, oh man, we might be 1-5 going into the bye week. Then we're like, all right, we could basically kiss this season goodbye, because we still got to play Miami twice. You got and you got Buffalo again. So yeah, I think this is one of those. I hate every week is a must win, right? I hate to call it a must win, but they got to win this game, because if they lose this, man, it's not going to look good the rest of the way. And of course, it's going to be Wilson. And again, he's got to prove himself every single week now. It can't be just 1 week and then a couple of bad weeks, and because then he's going to hear it again. Oh, that week was, you know, that was a mirage. That's not going to happen again. You know, he's back to his old self. He's going to hear that. And until he proves it every single week. So to me, it's going to be up to him. And we got word today that there's going to be no snap count on, no pitch count, excuse me, on Breece Hall.
On Breece Hall, yeah.
So there you go. Now we can unleash the beast that is Breece Hall. So that would be great. We don't have to worry about giving Dalvin Cook a few carries, Michael Carter. Yeah, they'll get a couple of carries here and there, but Breece Hall, you know, is going to be the man.
Don't yeah, worry. I can't wait for that, man. For me, I think the Broncos, you, like I said before, I think you can't sleep on the fact that they have a pretty talented DB room. You know, Jesse Bates is one of the best safeties in the NFL, and they have that kid, Kareem Jackson, over there. I think Bates has 3 interceptions. Jackson has 2 interceptions. So they're not an ugly team talent-wise. They just haven't been playing well at all. And a lot of their issues is on the second level. From a lot of what I saw, is their linebackers are just not playing well. right now. Incredibly long, like a ton of missed tackles. That's what I kept seeing over and over again. And they just don't have any pass rush right now. So it would be, like you said, I think it would be a good time to kind of just go run heavy, man. Go run heavy, play action, you know, off of it. Just bludgeon the crap out of them. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, totally agree. I think this is a game that you got to win, and I think they will win. I think all Zach Wilson has to do is, again, I would love to see him play like he did last week, but just don't lose the game and you'll win, right? Just don't turn the ball over. Just don't make bad choices and you'll be fine. Be aggressive, but of course, no turnovers. And I think we're going to beat this team. But like you said, Russell Wilson has been playing better. So I don't think it's going to be a easy victory by any stretch. So, but I think this is a game that they're going to win. I'll say 24-17.
Okay.
Well, what do you think?
I'm going to put it on the defense this time. I think our defense will play better this week. And I'm going to say that they're going to be able to score. So I'm going to lean on 21-7 Jets.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. I like that one better. I want to see our, I want to see our defense come up big.
Yeah. I really do, man. I'm putting this up in, you know, hey, Aaron Rodgers said that if you believe in it and, you know, you could manifest it. So, you know, if you say it loud enough, you know, because I think this is the thing, right? The identity of this team is the defense, and the defense just has not played up to their standard. I mean, they've played well, but they haven't played up to their standard. So I think it would be a good coming back to where they're supposed to be, you know, this Sunday against the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's get to the rest of week five. We'll start with Thursday night. Chicago coming in 0-4. Almost came back and beat the Broncos last week, but they're 0-4. Justin Fields had a much better game. Let's see what happens there. They travel to Washington, who lost a tough game against Philly, 34-31. And it's at Washington, and Washington's 2-2. So what do you think here?
I think Washington, I think Sam Howell is something, man. I think he's a tough kid. He showed me something, you know, I think he has something there. The Chicago Bears, you said that they almost came back to beat. I think they were leading 28-7.
Oh, it was the other way around. I thought it was.
Yeah. The Bears were leading 28-7.
Oh.
And then the Broncos came back and beat them because, you know, hey, I don't know, man. Listen, when things are going wrong for you, like everything goes wrong. Like that's what I say. It's like, a lot of the coaching strategies, in my opinion, in a game like that, where the kid was throwing the ball so well, right? Then the Broncos made adjustments on defense, right? So you have one of the most potent running quarterbacks in the NFL, and you don't use that? You let him drop back and sit in the pocket and throw the ball when you're seeing that the Broncos saw that things were kind of falling apart the way they were playing him, that he was beating them. So guess what? They made their changes. No adjustment on your part to kind of use his legs more. No. Okay. You know, play conservative. We're going to win. That was to me one of the worst coaching jobs, you know, game for game, the way they kind of just fell off, like, you know, being aggressive, you know, because they felt like they won the game already. This is the freaking NFL. If you got to score 70, you do it.
Right, exactly. You got to keep your foot down, you know. You got to keep on scoring because we've seen a game like that where you're up 28-7 and the other team just flips the script and boom.
Yeah.
They come back and win.
I think Washington wins this game because they're better They just have a better everything, yeah. Man. Their offense is better.
Underrated.
Yeah. They've been playing some tough games, so you don't get to really see everything they have. But I, not that they're not a 2-2 team. Don't think I think that there's some kind there will be this. No, I just think they're better than the Bears are. So
yeah.
Washington.
Jacksonville coming off, finally they get a victory. They beat the Falcons 23-7 in London. And yep. They travel to Buffalo, and Buffalo with the huge victory at home against Miami. Miami was coming yep. in flying high, scoring 70, and Buffalo puts 48 on them, so they won 48-20.
Talk about coaches that understand their team, right? We always talk about the fact that the Bills are one of those defenses that always do this thing where they hide the kind of defense or kind of coverage they have. Just pre-snap or post-snap, they just change into something else, right? I think they do that like almost at a 50% clip, and then against the Miami, they basically played what they were calling pre-snap as what they were playing post-snap. You know why? Because they know the speed Miami plays with. You can't do that. You're exposing yourself to a lot of issues when you have to change or run from one spot to the next just to be able to kind of, you know, camouflage what you're playing. So there was no tricks of the trade, anything. They just played straight up, took Miami out of their game. I think ultimately the two things that changed the game was the fact that the Bills were able to rush the passer. And we got to have this conversation. I know it's so early in the season, but we've taken kind of a hammer to these pass rushes, these young pass rushes that the Bills have. They've shown up this year because they're second in the NFL in pressures and sacks right now. And Von Miller hasn't even played a game.
Yeah, wait till he comes.
So yeah, so you get in the pressure, right? You're getting the pressure, you're getting the coverage skills. You know they have that with their safety duo, one of the best safety duos in the NFL. So you get all what they have, and they're doing it big, man. And the fact that their offense was able to also, because listen, you could score a bunch of points, but guess what? You know, your butt will be really, really tight if every time you score, the other team scores too. And then you score too, and they score too. You're like, hey man, we got to be a little bit more perfect. And you get to press in a little bit, and basically kind of fall off the wagon like that. So, you know, great performance by the Bills, man. After playing us in the first game of the season, they've returned to who we thought they were. So kudos to them, and I don't think that's going to be a problem for them because I don't know what it is with the Jaguars, to tell you the truth. But for a team that's that young to play, probably that's the issue. For them to be playing so up and down, it makes absolutely no sense. There's the weekend before that where they didn't show up at all. And then in London, they play such a great game. So they got to get it together at some point. But I don't think this is it for them.
Yeah. No, definitely not. But I think the Jaguars will be fine.
It's just I think so too.
Yeah, they just haven't played their game yet. You know,
agreed.
Still scuffling a little bit, but yeah, I like Buffalo too. But I think a closer game. I don't know if they're going to blow out Jacksonville, but how about Houston? Houston go into Atlanta. Houston, 36 over Pittsburgh. Like,
yeah,
okay. Yep. We have to have two conversations now. Do we have to have a conversation about Houston and CJ Stroud? And we have, and the other conversation is what the hell. And we'll get into Pittsburgh in a few games here, but like, what the hell's going on with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, the conversation about Stroud is something I'm happy to have, because I don't know when the last time we saw a rookie play like this.
No,
this is crazy, man. Four games into his career, his NFL career, he's balling out of control. Over 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, completing over 62% of his passes.
And he's from Ohio State, guys. So we know about Ohio State quarterbacks making it.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy thing about it is that we did not know what they were gonna be getting out of Stroud. But the one thing we we knew that they could run the ball, right? And they have not actually been running the ball that well. They've been, you know, because I think I don't have proof of that, but I saw a couple plays here and there where I see like teams are kind of playing a little bit in the box. I think at some point teams are gonna start falling back, and to, you know, and let's see what how Stroud handles that. The kid Nico Collins, man, that why he has quite a connection with Stroud. He and Stroud has been like kind of taking the NFL by storm. So they have a little bit of a wide receiver quarterback connection. Quarterback's playing well. The defense has been playing well also too. So yeah, they bowling, man. Let's see how far they could go with this. The Falcons, on the other hand, I think this is what you're going to get from the Falcons. I think that's what they are because of their inconsistent quarterback play. They're going to have weekends where they, you know, they're not just not in it, you know. But if you let them play in that kind of rough and tumble game where they could run the ball, they could bludgeon the crap out of you. So I think Houston is suited to beat them, and not just because of Stroud, but because of the way they play defense, I think. So I'm going Houston here.
Yeah, because you know what? Until Ridder starts playing, until he ups his game, Atlanta's going to be that one-way team, run-based team, and they don't have a defense that could carry their team with just a run-based offense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Ridder's got to start doing something, or else they got a problem there at quarterback. So, yeah, I like Houston too. Next game, you got Carolina, still winless, 0-4. They lost to Minnesota at home. They traveled to Detroit. Detroit 3-1 after they beat Green Bay on Thursday night, 34-20. So they're starting to roll now.
I mean, we knew we called Detroit, right? We know they're a formidable team. They're one of the better teams in the NFC. We know what they could do on offense. They're incredibly talented on the skill position players. The defense was the issue, but apparently they bring defense to the cart. You know,
yeah.
You know, they've been playing pretty good defense, and a lot of the players that playing so well, that new additions and draftees that they got in, they're the ones that are performing on a high level, you know, that is changing things for them, you know.
Yeah, no,
you know, so I think up to this point, the Lions have given up the fewest rushing yards in the NFL, 243 yards right now.
And yeah, that was really their big question mark coming into this,
yeah,
you know, season was their defense. And if their defense plays this well, yeah.
This is definitely- you know they have pass rushers, but there's a couple kids on that. Like I remember we really liked Aleem McNeil when he was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him play that the position that he's playing now, he's one of those guys that, you know, you see, you know, he's balling out of it, you know. He's balling out of his mind right now. I like to see that, man.
Right. This should be an easy one for Detroit. Carolina, yeah. You know, Bryce Young, he's looked good, but this is not the right time for him. You know, especially in Detroit. Next game, you got Tennessee coming off their big victory against Cincinnati, 27-3. They traveled to Indianapolis, who almost ended up beating the Rams, but they ended up losing 29-23. But what the hell? I mean, are we writing the Bengals off now, or?
I don't know if we should.
I don't want
because that's, yeah, I don't want to. And the reason why I don't want to is because things could be true. Two different things could be true at the same time. I think people forget that sometimes. Yes, they're struggling mightily. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Joe Burrow's ankle or calf is injured right now, and he's not able to maneuver the pocket like he. That's the thing that makes him. That's the thing. He's not one of those guys that will take the ball and run 40 yards You know, that's not his game. But the maneuvering around in the pocket and finding a place of comfort long enough in a split second to get the ball down the field is what makes Joe Burrow so deadly. Take that out of the out of his game, and I think you've just seen him struggle. Now, if I am NFL owner and I'm paying the kind of money I'm paying for my offensive line, and they wet the bed like they've been doing, man, I don't know, man. These guys would have had to be – you had to come to my office. I'm sorry. Because these guys are like they're playing complete crap right now. It's not like we know that that a lot of those guys are just not what they, you know, I don't know. A lot of them are by name, you know. But last time I checked, you could have a great name, but that don't mean nothing if you can't show up on a Sunday. But these guys haven't been performing well at all, and it just kind of exacerbates the situation. The fact that the quarterback cannot move, that's number one. And number two, the fact that you just can't protect him at all. Nothing. There's nothing. These guys can't really. Five-man pressures are killing those guys. Four down linemen are killing those guys. There's a couple times in the last four games that I saw three men rush, get to their quarterback. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
It's just bad, man. Their offensive line is really bad. And for you to see the collection of talent like that suffer because of what a one part of the team is struggling at, it's just sad to see at this point. But I gotta ask you, man, because what's your opinion on this? Did you think that the Bengals should have sat him until he was well? Or do you think they did the right thing by playing him?
No, I think they had to sit him. They have to, yeah. Because right here, this is the proof why you should sit the guy until he's 100% or as close as 100% as you're going to get him. You just have to. I get, 60%, 65% Joe Burrow is better than who's their backup? Jake Browning, I think his name is.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's also their fault for not getting a better backup, because he got hurt about a month before the season started, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So they had a chance to bring somebody in and they didn't. So this is their, they're laying in their own bed, right? So
yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the game is Tennessee at Indianapolis. Tennessee coming.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Tennessee coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you allow Tennessee to run the ball like they did, that's what that's going to happen. I mean, you revive King Henry and you get a rousing performance. That's basically what you get, you know. So
and we might get Jonathan Taylor back for the Colts this week.
You might get who?
Jonathan Taylor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's going to play, but he was activated.
Yeah, we'll see where that happens, because I know him and the front office ain't seen things eye to eye, so we'll see what the deal is with that. The Colts showed me something, though. they have a lot of fight. They have a lot of talented players, so I don't think they're one of those teams that's going to lay down. So this is going to be an interesting game. I think it's one of those games I'll keep an eye on to watch. I really can't. Like, it's hard for me to pick who's going to win this game. Again, I think that the rookie quarterback for the Colts is, like, he got something too.
Yep.
You know, he showed some toughness, man. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's one, to me, it's one of those games on Sunday that I'll actually, like, pay attention to more. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And again, like a game like this, that's a divisional game. So.
Yes. Yeah. Again. Yep.
Time game, especially with Jacksonville not playing well, Houston playing well. So this is a big game.
Yes, sir.
I guess I like Tennessee only because I don't know what we're going to get from Indianapolis, but yeah, it could go either way that game. Here's an interesting game because I think it's a big character game for the Giants. Giants at Miami. Giants once again on prime time at home, laid. I mean, one of the worst offensive, one of the worst offensive line games you've ever seen play. They got sacked 11 times. Seahawks won 24-3. And the Dolphins, of course, coming off their loss at Buffalo, 48-20 after scoring the 70 points. So, you know, they're going to be like, all right, we got to get back on track here. Something's got to give with the Giants. I mean, are they this bad after last year? I mean, who are we pointing
They have injuries. We got to give them that.
Yeah.
But like you always say, you know, hey, everybody has injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's too early in the season to say that. But they have some interesting, some really important guys down on their line. And I understand why, you know, some of that would be a problem. But to perform at that badly, man, 11 sacks? Sheesh, man, that's just not good. And Daniel Jones's propensity for turning the ball over has returned. Because the reason why he got paid was because apparently we thought that that was out the door. No, I think the reason why he got paid was we thought that his his decision making skills had kind of grown up. You know, he stopped turning the ball over. He looked like more of a useful quarterback that you could win with. But that guy that showed up on Sunday, that's the guy that we didn't want to pay. No.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what the sad thing about playing the Dolphins is? If you're going to play like that against that team, yeah, they will put 70 on you.
Yeah.
That's all the way possible. Yeah. If you turn the ball over on short fields and give Achane, Hill, and all these crazy ass, stupid fast guys, all those chances to run at you, I don't care how good you play defense, you don't have it. You don't stand a chance. They're definitely taking you to the cleaners. It's not going to be a good look. Like you said, it's a character game. They better show up.
Yeah. Giants, I don't care. Injuries. You know, you got Evan Neal talking today that, you know, he doesn't care about who's talking, you know, bad about the team. You know, because, you know, about the whole flipping hot dogs and hamburgers. I don't care about those people. Yo, this team has to step it up this week. There's too much going on. You can't go from a playoff team to a 1-3. Now it could be and probably 1-4 team. You know, they're coming in 11.5-point underdogs. And I'm not putting it all on Daniel Jones either. I mean, yeah, you know.
No. Like I said, the offensive line is bad. Horrible.
Yeah, he did have the bad pick, you know, that Witherspoon ran it back 95 yards or whatever. But he also got sacked, 10 times, 11 times. So
yeah,
he's getting no protection back there. And they traded for Waller. And what is he doing? He's back. They have him blocking. You didn't trade this kid to block.
Well, when your offensive line ain't playing well, then you gotta try to protect the quarterback. But you're asking the quarterback to throw the ball downfield, and he's turning the ball over. The right. First four, he has 6 interceptions.
Right.
you gotta do better than that.
Yeah, like last year, everybody was given, like you say, given Daybo flowers. They were given the GM flowers, like, oh, what a great move. They turned this roster over and they're doing such a great job. What is he doing this year? You know what I mean? Like, figure it out.
Man, you're the NFL football gods give up and take up away, son.
Yes.
That's just how it is.
You were coach of the year last year. Be coach of the year again. Figure it out. That would be, if I'm a Giant fan, that's what I'm telling my coach. Figure it out. I don't care if my whole offensive line is hurt. Figure it out. You're an offensive guru. You can't be scoring 3 points at home. 3 points? I'm sorry. And then, you know, and this is coming off of, you know, week one. You got destroyed on Sunday night, prime time.
By the Cowboys. Yep.
Be better. And I think they won. Daniel Jones is 1-12 or 1-13 in primetime games now.
Sheesh.
So move over, Kirk Cousins. We got a new one. I don't want to put Kirk Cousins in his category.
Oh, my God. Leave Kirk Cousins out of it, man.
But, yeah, so now we can't make fun of Kirk Cousins being in bad in prime time. This guy is beyond bad. Sorry. Sorry,
Jeff. I didn't see you were going that way. That was funny.
All right, next game. Saints. coming off their loss against Tampa at home, too, 26-9. Travel to New England. This is another team we might have to start having a conversation about. And lost again, this time to the Cowboys, 38-3, and they lose Judon, and they lost Gonzalez.
Yep.
They picked up J.C. Jackson in a trade with the Chargers. So
somebody had to explain this to me, because the last time I checked, Jackson was over in L.A. making what? How much money? 70-something million? That was the contract he signed? How are they shipping him out of town all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Well, so, what's going on over there? Listen, man, this NFL is weird to me. This is crazy.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. You mean to tell me you paid this guy all this money, he was underperforming that badly that you're happy to trade him from your team?
And now we have to have a conversation. Now, are we seeing like the beginning of the end of Bill Belichick in New England?
What have I said? You know what I say. Unless they have toe tags on them, they're not dead. And they ain't got no toe tags on them. It's close though, because they're almost to the morgue because of the stuff they did last year with the offensive coaching, right?
Right.
And then I don't care how good your offensive coordinator is, but if your quarterback is going to do what this kid did on Sunday, yeah, nah. There's no rescuing it. He's performing ridiculously. And this is the thing too, right? There's a couple mechanical issues with his game that when he's under pressure, that becomes a little bit more emboldened. Like it just becomes larger than life. And one of them is the fact that he just does not step into his throws. And you're talking about a kid that does not have a live arm to begin with. So if you're not throwing the ball hard at all, and then now when you're throwing the ball, you're retreating whilst throwing the ball? Bro, you got a major issue. So that's something that needs to be corrected. I know for sure that the coaches see that on film. So that's part of the reason, in my opinion, he was taken off the field. It wasn't like he was like retreating all the time. He had like he was taking all these hits and he was kind of just feeling it. He was like, oh my God, they're coming. Oh my God. You know what I mean? And that's not a good way. If you're looking at the rush, you're not looking at the defense.
No.
So most definitely they're struggling right now on offense. And because of the amount of time that defense spends on the field, a lot of what they do, running around playing man, that it negates it completely. Because you're asking guys to plaster coverage over and over again, run all over the place. They're going to – you about halfway through the game, they're done. They're tired, you know. So, yeah, they were beaten soundly. And the thing with the Saints is – I don't know offensively how they're going to play against the Patriots, but I know for sure the Saints defense could play now. Give them enough chances, they're going to do something. So this is going to be an interesting game for me with the Patriots. I think the Patriots, they got to win this game. They can't go 1-4. They can't. That's a no-no. They got to do this. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they win this game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if Belichick has anything left in him, if he doesn't want that toe tag put on him, like we say, he's got to win this game. I think this is a must win for them. This is a game that normally after New England gets their butt kicked somewhere, they come back the following week and they look like their old self. So tough, ugly game, but I think they win because of the injuries that they have on defense with Judon and Gonzalez being out. I guess now for the year, because it said indefinitely. So we're going to say the whole season. But next up, you got Baltimore coming off their victory at Cleveland. Deshaun Watson less offense by the Browns. So they beat him 28-3. And Pittsburgh, like we said earlier, Pittsburgh got demolished there at Houston 30-6. Now, and Baltimore, they had some good news from the injury front. Marlon Humphrey was starting to practice this week. So I don't know if he's going to come back this week, but you add him to that defense. Baltimore's a team to worry about in the AFC.
And they're playing well, and that offense is starting to hum a little bit, no?
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, I mean, are we going to be this is another one. Like, is this – I don't want to say the head coach is going to get fired for this year, but you got to start wondering, like, what's going on with Pittsburgh now? Because their offense is totally
– I don't know, man. This is the things that's been going on with the Steelers offense every year that bothers me. They start the season completely cold.
Yeah.
Like almost every time, like for the last couple of years at least, they do this thing where they start almost like that offense is like non-existent. And then little by little during the season, they kind of get better and better and better, because down the stretch last year, that offense was humming. No, they were playing well. The quarterback looked really promising. And then the beginning of the season is the same thing. You just can't see it, and you don't know where they're going. And to the point where the coach comes out and said, "Hey, changes has to be made." It's 4 games in the season. What are we talking about? Changes had to be made. We spent the whole offseason planning this whole thing, and we're already making big wholesale changes. You know, people are out there throwing Canada, who is the offensive coordinator, under the bus for the reason why the offense is just not performing. My question is, do you think they've done enough on that offensive line? Do you think that the talent out there is good enough? Do you think their quarterback is good enough? That's my question. There's a lot of question marks there, and I don't think there's too many people on that team offensively, especially, that you would go out and say, hey, you know, they're doing everything, or they're performing out of their mind. They're not. Like, nobody's playing well, in my opinion, at this point. So I don't know. I don't know what the coach will do, you know, to change things. But especially going up against a hot Ravens team that's playing really good on defense, and they're getting better on offense, which yep. is scary thing to say for a team of their caliber. So yeah, does not look good for the Steelers.
Yeah. Philly coming in 4-0 after their overtime win against Washington, 34-31. And they go to the Rams, who came off a victory at the Colts, 29-23. This should be an interesting game. Rams have been playing well. I think Cooper Kupp is coming back, or he is back. Philadelphia still, I don't know. They're not at peak Philly right now. They're still struggling to win. They're right. They're finding ways to win. So you can't really
complain. That's the thing. This is the mark of a good team, right? This is the mark of a great team, actually. A team that is not firing on all cylinders and still finding ways to win is the mark of a great team. And I don't think it's a problem that they're not performing right now, because I think when it matters most, they find a way to win games. They do all the things that's necessary to win. The small things in game, that's what makes that team different. There are players on this team that are literally Hall of Fame level players. Ton of them. We're not talking about one or two or three. We're talking about like about 4 or 5 guys. Like, this is crazy. And they do these small things at every game in and game out. And they kind of creates a kind of a culture around doing the right thing, play in and play out for a game, and that allows for them, even when they're not performing at their best, to win games. And that's a scary thought, because like you said, they're not playing well. So guess what? When they start humming, you got a problem. Yep. And yeah, as good as I think the Rams have played, because I think the Rams have played better than we think that they were going to perform this year. So I just think that's not a good matchup for them. I think the Eagles are just a better team. I think the Eagles win this game.
Yeah. Should be a good game, though.
It should be an entertaining game because whoever that doubted that the Rams coach, head coach, is actually a really good coach. I don't know if anybody said that. Pay attention to the guys that are performing on that offense and tell me where the hell those guys came from. I don't know, but they're playing the hell out of the football. So, yeah, that's to me, that's coaching right there. Putting his players in the best position to perform. I think that's an admirable trait for a good coach in the NFL. So, I think they're doing well, but I just think it's just a mismatch right now.
Cincinnati travels to Arizona. Cincinnati, of course, we talked a little bit about them before, losing to Tennessee 27-3. And they play Arizona, who lost again. They're 1-3. They lost at San Fran. Not a shocker. 35-6.
Yeah.
What do you think?
The Cardinals, another thing. Like, you could watch a Cardinals game. There's no give up in their name. They've been from the jump, from the beginning of the season, every game that the Cardinals played is hard fought, well managed. They, of course, mistakes are being made, and sometimes they just get out talented because the other teams are more talented than them. But that's not a team that just bad. I think you're gonna always run into issues trying to beat them, and I think the Bengals are gonna have their hands full trying to beat this team. But you guys need to show up, man. I mean, come on, bro. Like, especially like the Bengals defense is too talented to not show up for this game. I'm betting the Bengals here, but I have a sinking feeling that the Cardinals are gonna give them a hell of a fight.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you. Kansas City, of course, coming off their victory against us, travel to Minnesota. Minnesota won their game last week. They beat Carolina in Carolina. So Minnesota right now is sitting at 1-3. They finally get their first victory. That was a must win for them too. KC 3-1. What do you think here?
Yeah, bro, the Chiefs are going to win. I don't have too much to say about that.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen anything about the Vikings that are different from last year. Have you?
No.
It's the same team.
Vikings
the same team that can't play defense. And now it makes it even worse because it doesn't look like they could run the ball.
Right.
No good.
So now it's like Justin Jefferson against the world, basically.
Yeah.
Jefferson and Kirk Cousins against the world there.
Well, yeah, and Kirk Cousins will throw you the ball a couple of times a game now.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Sunday night, this should be a good matchup. Dallas come up with a big victory against the Patriots. They travel to San Fran. San Fran, one of only two teams undefeated.
Yeah, San Fran gets their first true test. Now, the Cowboys players have been talking crap from the time they lost to the 49ers last year. They've been talking crap in the background for a minute. Now, hey, you better show up now. Because if you think you're going to play against this team and make mistakes, you're not. You're not going to survive this game.
Oh.
Because we know the 49ers, what they do. They play crisp, clean football across the board. And they most of the time have to take their foot off the pedal. That's how they just run roughshod over most of the teams they play. So that's quite a matchup. I want to see what Dak Prescott does against the 49ers, man. This, when you talk about the kind of player he's supposed to be, right? The kind of money he's getting paid and everything. These are the games he's supposed to wake up for, no?
You would think so.
Yeah. So
can't pay for it.
I'm gonna still stick with the 49ers here. But I just want to see what the Cowboys do, especially Dak Prescott. I want to see how they wake up to this challenge.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be an interesting game for sure. Prime time, Sunday night, definitely. And then finishes up Monday night. You got Green Bay coming up there, Thursday night loss against Detroit. Travel to the Raiders, who took the loss against the Chargers 24-17. And now there's rumblings. Davante Adams ain't happy. Josh Jacobs ain't happy for the Raiders. So this might
nobody's happy. Well, they weren't happy before the season started to begin with. So
this team might be busy at the trade deadline this year.
I'm thinking that myself. Yeah, and I think this is an interesting matchup in a way that the Packers are like they have a few things to work on, and I think this is the perfect team for them to run into to work on those things. So yeah. I'm going to pick the Packers here when against the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are ahead in the game right now.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just don't trust the Raiders right now. I think the Raiders they're a team going nowhere very fast. And it's they might start to become that train wreck we watch all season, you know, sadly for the Raider fans. But so that's it. That's week 5. Should be an interesting week. You got some really good matchups. We'll be watching. I'll be in Denver watching the Jet-Bronco game. Hopefully another victory for them.
Nice.
So, yeah. So we'll see. But anyway, we will hope you guys enjoy the week. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.